Hey guys, I'm Ashley and I'm the daughter.
I'm Liz and I'm the mom.
My name is Adam.
And I'm...
And I'm a Pisces.
No.
And we're back. So welcome to part two. If you remember from the last episode, we were on the topic of Yellowstone. We talked about the geysers, the hot springs, and how acidic they are, the lakes that sing and also flow backwards, and some of the really cool hot springs that you can visit if you are afraid to visit the acidic ones.
Yeah, so, I'm a little bit afraid.
Yeah, just don't swim in them. In part two, we're going to be talking about something called the zone of death or the death zone and the supervolcano that lies beneath Yellowstone.
I feel like that's what I need to know about. I need to know about this supervolcano because it's a little frightening.
I know. It sounds scary and it could be scary, but you'll see. So probably the most interesting thing I found when I was researching was the zone of death. This is located in the southwest corner of the park, and it stops where Montana starts. It's called Cascade or Beckler's Corner, which is where 80% of the park's waterfalls and hiking areas are.
So it's the zone of death, but it's the area where the most fun things to do are?
Correct.
Oh, no. Ashley's going to go there and be like, all right, I'm going to need to see this zone of death.
So in addition to that, there's also only one road in and one road out.
So what if something happens on the road? You're just like stuck in and or out of it?
I guess. Now that we know where it's located, let's dive into some of the background about this area. The United States District Court for the District of Wyoming is currently the only U.S. District Court to have jurisdiction over parts of multiple states. Because of this, its jurisdiction includes all of Yellowstone National Park, which, if you remember, extends slightly beyond Wyoming's boundaries into Idaho and Montana.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
I know. And I think you're going to find this really interesting just because of, you know, your job. And I wonder if Adam even knows this since he's a lawyer.
I don't know. We'll find out.
So in this regard, the federal government has exclusive jurisdiction over the park. So crimes committed in the park cannot be prosecuted under any state laws.
You can just commit crimes there?
Well, that doesn't include the whole park. So Yellowstone's boundaries were laid out and established as a national park before Idaho and Montana were even states, which is why some of the park falls into those states. And if you remember, 1%, which is approximately 50 miles of it, is in Idaho. In addition to the 1% of the park that falls into Idaho, no one lives in that part of the state and district, which creates a loophole of sorts in the Constitution.
So there's just like 50 miles of just crime. What is that movie where everyone goes crazy for a night?
The Purge. The Purge.
Yeah. So basically 50 miles of The Purge.
Yeah. So this loophole was discovered by an associate law professor at Michigan State University named Brian Cault. He was planning to write an essay about technicalities of the Sixth Amendment when he came across Yellowstone. And when he discovered, like, this loophole in the Constitution, I guess he took it to Congress, and they were like, nah, nothing's happened, so, you know, we'll just leave it for now.
Yeah, so they're just going to wait for a couple of murders, you know, like, whatever in that area, and then they'll do something about it?
I guess. Yeah, because I have an example that follows this, but I'll explain like what the loophole actually is.
Okay. I'm excited to hear this.
I know. So I'm going to break it down and talk about what he found. In Section 3.2 of the Constitution, it says you must have a trial in the state that the crime was committed, but the Sixth Amendment states you must have a jury by the state and the district the crime was committed. So this presents an issue because it's a national park and only the federal government can prosecute within the federal district of Wyoming. And no one lives in that part of the state of Idaho. So the court wouldn't be able to give you a fair trial that meets the Sixth Amendment rights. Therefore, they'd have to let you go.
I just feel like there's always, like we talked about before, there's always someone who wants to like test the boundaries all the time.
I know.
So it's just like shocking that people know about this and there hasn't been a bunch of crime or murder, especially, you know, there's certain people who have nothing to live for and they're like, I'm just going to try this out, like see what happens. So it's like shocking that this hasn't come up.
Well, it came up in one instance, but it wasn't like murder. It was illegal, but it wasn't murder. So does all that make sense? Like, are you following or do you want me to kind of explain it a little more?
To me, it sounds like there's this little area between the states, like 50 miles, that basically this state can't do anything about it because of this. And then this state can't do anything about it because of this. So like basically they're all like, sorry, we just can't do anything. That's the way it sounds to me.
Yeah. So because technically you're in Idaho, you can't have a trial in Wyoming. But then when they send you over to Idaho to have a trial, there's no one that lives in the district in which you committed the crime. So you can't have a fair trial. And they can't
You can't have a jury of your peers is basically what they're saying.
An impartial jury. Yes. I know. So an example of this happened in December 2005. There was a poacher named Michael Beldurain who illegally shot an elk in Montana, which like flows into the section of Yellowstone that we're talking about. And I guess it's illegal because you can't hunt in a national park, which makes sense.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That does make sense though. Yeah. Yeah. They're protected.
Yeah. So while that section of the park does not have any residents to form a jury, it might be difficult to put together a standing and fair one due to travel and unwillingness of members of the small population there to serve. So a federal judge ruled that Beldurain could be tried in the U.S. District Court for the District of Wyoming, despite the Sixth Amendment problem. However, Beldurain cited Colt's paper, which is called The Perfect Crime, to explain why he believed it was illegal to have his trial with a jury from a state other than where the crime was committed. So the court dismissed the argument and he took a plea deal saying that he would not appeal the zone of death issue to the 10th Circuit, rendering the issue moot, which means like the situation was too uncertain to allow a decision to be made. Yeah.
It's just like a little bit, also for me, because I know with the federal government, federal means basically it's like interstate. So it's just surprising that even though there is an area that is different states, like the federal government covers all of the states. So it's like, I guess I'm surprised that they aren't able to like pull something together with that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I listened to like a lot of stuff about it and it's still a little bit confusing, but it also makes sense. Like when you bring in the Sixth Amendment.
I'm also surprised that the only thing that's happened there is a poaching.
Yeah. So do you think Adam knows about that?
He probably would. I can ask him. I'll ask him.
Yeah. Because it's also – there was like a law page that I went to when I was doing research. And lawyers even went into this saying how there's a loophole and you could technically get away with murder.
Wow.
Lawyers.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to ask him.
So we were able to snag Adam, and here's how that conversation went. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Adam.
And I'm?
And I'm a Pisces.
No. Your name is Adam, and you're the stepdad.
I am the stepdad.
Oh, sorry. In the beginning, we do. She goes, "I'm Ashley. I'm the daughter," and I say, "I'm Liz. I'm the mom."
He knows.
I'm a Pisces.
So, Adam, what do you think about the death zone or the zone of death?
Okay. So, first of all, this is something that lots of people do in my life where they just assume because I'm a lawyer that I'm going to know random stuff. Like my dad will call me about like maritime law and property law in Texas and landlord-tenant law in Naples or whatnot, and just assume that I know the answer. But I can give you some insight on this one. All right. So okay. Here we go. We ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, like often happens when I'm asked, is this thing real? And it's like from TikTok or whatever. The answer is always no. The answer, you know, if it's like a gummy bear that you put in the refrigerator, the answer is always no. This one kind of you don't know the gummy bear thing?
No, I don't know the gummy bear thing.
There's like a thing that was going around TikTok where if you put a gummy bear in salt water in your refrigerator, it turns into like a 2 foot tall gummy bear after a couple of days.
Oh,
and I opened
God.
Our refrigerator once and your mom had like a little gummy bear sitting in salt.
All right, that's enough.
And they just bought like, someone on TikTok bought the big gummy bear and now like everybody has a little gummy bear in salt water sitting in their refrigerator. So anyway, the answer is
When you saw that, you should have bought the big gummy bear and stuck it in there.
Oh my God. Why didn't we talk before? That would have been so great to sneak out in the middle of the night and switch out the gummy bears. Oh God, wasted opportunity. All right. So the answer is usually always no. It's not real. This thing actually seems kind of real. Okay. So here's the problem. The problem is in the Constitution. I always keep a pocket Constitution on me so that I can refer to it. So in the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution, and amendments have full force of law, it says, in all criminal prosecutions, we'll get back to that later, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury, listen, of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So as you probably learn from Wikipedia and Google, and by the way, those are lawyers don't that any good lawyer starts with Wikipedia and Google like that's and most lawyers will actually stop with Wikipedia and Google. I went a little bit further and consulted my pocket Constitution. Okay. So as you might have learned from Wikipedia and Google, the issue is that the Constitution says that the jury shall be of people that live in the state and the district where the crime was committed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys identified this zone of death. Actually, this law professor identified this zone of death that's in the district of Wyoming, right? Mm-hmm. That's the federal district, but it's in the state of Idaho, right?
Yes.
Sloppy line drawing by Congress or whatnot, and now we got this situation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if a crime was committed in that spot in Idaho, that's in Yellowstone, in the district of Wyoming, there's no jury that both lives in the state of Idaho and in the district of Wyoming, right? Because nobody lives in this 50 square mile tract of land. So that's true and weird. And the other part about it is, so normally if a crime is committed, you could have committed a federal crime or a state crime or both, and then you can get prosecuted in federal court and state court, even for the same crime. Because states and the states and the U.S. government are considered separate sovereigns. So if you commit a firearms offense that's punishable under state and federal law, theoretically you get prosecuted, spend your time in state prison, and then go and spend your time in federal prison, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Here, there's another law that says that basically crimes that are committed in Yellowstone are only to be prosecuted by the federal government. So what that means is that if you commit a crime in this like special zone of death or whatever, you can't be prosecuted by the state of Idaho. You have to be prosecuted by the federal government. And the federal government can't find a jury for your trial because there's nobody that lives in the state and district where the crime was committed.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? That was a much better way to explain it than we did.
Yeah. And that's why I love him so much.
No, this...
funny and smart.
Oh, that's very sweet. It's just when the mics are on, she says things like this. So there are loopholes to the loophole, though. Should we go through them?
So I'll tell you what I know, but then I'd like to hear like what you know.
Okay.
Is that okay? Okay. So I do know that they can prosecute you for like, so let's say you did commit this murder in that zone
of
death.
Wait, I committed a murder now?
Yes. So now you're committing a murder in the zone of death.
Okay.
But if you went to the store or something and bought the supplies to commit the murder, then you can be charged for like that store visit as like a, what is it called?
Premeditated.
Oh, premeditated murder. That thing. So I know that like they can charge you with that.
Also, you said something about conspiracy too.
Oh, yeah. Or like conspiracy to murder.
Do we know what a conspiracy is?
We do because mom explained it. It's when two or more people plan to commit a murder.
Yes, that's pretty. Okay. A conspiracy is when two or more people agree to commit a crime. So, so it can be conspiracy to murder, conspiracy to, you know, drive drunk, conspiracy to, you know, in my dad's example, violate landlord-tenant law in Naples. You can conspire to commit any crime. So, yeah, those are some examples, and you can then be prosecuted in why. So, if he bought supplies or conspired with other people in Wyoming, then the crime could have been considered to be committed also in Wyoming. And then the jury can be made up of folks in Wyoming. The other part of this is that not all crimes require a jury. So this only applies to jury crimes. When I say jury crimes, the Supreme Court of the United States makes a distinction between kind of major crimes and minor crimes. Minor crimes are considered any crime that's punishable by 6 months or less in jail. And so you can prosecute someone without a jury. You can have a bench trial, a judge trial, basically, for misdemeanors. And so in our murder example where I murder people, I can also be charged with maybe assault. And, you know, even though I also murdered the guy, I assaulted him while I was murdering him. So I could be charged with simple assault, which is a misdemeanor, and not have a jury trial. So that is one of the loopholes to the loophole.
Okay.
And you can also, you know, like, you know, we always say it's bad enough to lock someone up, but then you also can take their money, you know? So you can also charge someone civilly. Like famously, O.J. Simpson murdered his wife, right? Was found not guilty somehow in criminal court, but then he was found to be liable in civil court and had a huge judgment against him for wrongful death.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Well, cool.
Does it?
Yeah. I'm glad you explained a lot of it because I feel like there were some things that, you know, we left out and it makes it more clear. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah. I can Google with the best of them.
Okay.
I also read this guy. Did you guys name check this guy? He deserves
Michael?
A name check.
Or Brian.
I mean, who are Michael and Brian?
It's Brian Kate.
Brian Cult. Brian C.
Oh,
Cult.
Yeah, that's the law professor.
Michigan State University. He's the guy that came up. This hasn't really happened, although it did happen, right? You guys talked about it, that there was a poacher.
Yes. Yeah, so I was going to ask you about the poacher. So is that why he took a lesser plea?
Yeah, so I don't know if it was a lesser plea, but I know that he pled, probably didn't, you know, had minimal punishment, and he waived his right to appeal the issue. And this is this kind of problem won't be tested, but I don't even know if the poaching was a felony. I haven't the foggiest if it was even a felony. But I guess the bigger issue and the bigger thing is that Congress could just fix this. They could easily fix this with the stroke of a pen. You don't have to like amend the Constitution, but you know our Congress.
Yeah. Well, we said something earlier about Brian Cult And he was like, oh, hey, you know, Congress, you need to fix this. And they were like, nah, we'll wait.
We'll wait for worst case scenario.
Yeah. Right. So I've identified a bunch of loopholes in Florida law. And every year I send to the legislature, these are the loopholes and it's easy to change them. And then I even draft the language to change them. And, you know, just it's just like my yearly tradition.
That's such an Adam thing to do.
Yeah. So the next place you go is going to be Wyoming. And then you're going to draft something for Wyoming and Idaho and Yellowstone, right?
No, Brian Cult is already doing, you know, this is Brian Cult's spot, you know. I don't want to step on Michigan State University law professor Brian Cult. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm getting no for an answer here. I don't need to move to Wyoming to get no for an answer, you know. Any other? No. You could be like my dad and just ask me, what is the probate law in Dallas, Texas? Be like, Dad, I don't. Lawyers don't know things. We just Google things like everybody else.
I'm sure we'll have you on for future episodes too, because we'll be talking about the law, since these are like national parks that we're talking about.
The law.
The law.
I also, I'm not a big, what is that? Astrology.
Intro. Oh.
An intro guy. I'm not a big astrology guy. What are you, Ashley? Okay. Aquarius?
A Taurus.
A Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
That's
Elizabeth?
Why I'm stubborn.
Aries.
I think you're stubborn because you're stubborn and you happen to be a Taurus.
No.
Oh, so Taurus like bulls, right?
Yeah.
And Aries.
But
is
I think
a ram.
Checks out.
I think I have to look it up, but my like moon rising or whatever it's called, I'm like a Pisces too. So.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So like the moon went through the Pisces constellation when you were born or some nonsense, right?
Yeah, something like that. Like you have a like your sign and then a rising and then there's one other one that you have.
Well, like it's all about the celestial bodies crossing through the constellations. So I guess it's when you were born. On your birth date, the moon came where the constellation that it was rising through was probably a Pisces, if that's your rising. But not only do I not know anything about this stuff, I think it's all voodoo nonsense. So we cannot cut that out. No, that stays in. Okay. And all those astrology listeners that you have, they have to just take it.
And it's funny that I'm the person who does the ghost stories, mm-hmm, and he thinks it's total bull.
Oh, you don't believe in ghosts either?
So I just I don't not believe in ghosts. I don't believe in so her rule, and I don't know if this applies to this podcast or we've outed this rule, that you haunt and are kind of locked down to the place where you die. Yeah. And I think And there's the other rules, like whatever you died in, those become your ghost clothes.
We actually talked about this in an episode.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I haven't been allowed to listen to the episodes yet, so.
Yeah. What?
I'm being punished because I'm not allowed to listen to the podcast episodes.
Because you're judgy?
Well, I think that's the reason. I think that's the stated reason, but I don't find myself particularly judgy.
Well, it's part of being a lawyer, right?
Or a judge.
Yeah. You work with a judge, so.
I work with a judge. Yeah. So I guess I believe that there could be some space between this world and the next. Mm. And if we want to call that ghosts or whatnot, I get that. But I think these rules that we've made up that they are like confined to the place of like when we've been buying a house or, you know, we've been looking at a house to buy, Elizabeth's first question isn't how many bathrooms, it's not the square footage, it's how many people have died here. For possible.
You asked that?
Tell the truth.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't want a house where someone like committed suicide in the back bedroom or something.
Right? Oh, Adam, you'll know this. Don't they have to disclose that to you when you buy a house?
If you ask, I think.
Okay. I do know this. I do know this, actually. There is no law that says that a house has a latent defect, which is someone committed suicide in the back bedroom and a house could be haunted. So the answer is no. A realtor does not need to disclose that a death happened in the house because it's not a latent defect. Now, if you two were writing the laws, you would say haunting is a latent defect to a house.
Wow, I never asked because I thought they had to tell you.
That's hilarious. You guys are so adorable. you think that a realtor has to be like, now the roof was replaced due to leaking in 2007. Also, the place could be haunted. We're going to move on to the master bedroom.
Well, it's just in the scary movies that I see, the realtor always says like, now, there was a tragedy here. And then they go into what happened.
Yeah. So I'm not a realtor, but I would think that that'd be bad business to tell the people that your place is haunted. Although they always do sell the house in the scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some people like that. Are you guys going to do something on the Shining house in Colorado?
Is it near a national park?
Probably it's in Colorado, right? Those big boxy states always have national parks around them.
I don't know. We'll bring you on for that one.
Okay, you got anything else for me?
No, I think that's it. Thanks, Adam.
You're very welcome.
So, the moment you've been waiting for. Are you ready? Should we do a drum roll? okay. So beneath the surface of Yellowstone's landscape is a super volcano the size of Rhode Island, which is 40 miles by 30 miles big.
Mm-hmm. Under Yellowstone, is that what you said?
Under Yellowstone.
Oh my God.
It has erupted three times in the past 2.08 million years, which breaks down to once every 725 years, and it hasn't erupted in 625 years. We're in the zone.
That's so terrifying.
So I know it sounds bad. And some sources I looked at were like, oh, you know, it's going to erupt in our lifetime. And we have between now and 100,000 years that it could erupt. So we're right in the zone of eruption. But like a lot of sources say that it likely won't erupt in our lifetime. And if it does, it won't be to the same extent as the last few eruptions.
So just curious, if it hasn't erupted in, say, 600 and something thousand years, how do they know what happened when it erupted?
Yeah. So they have – I don't think they know what happened exactly, but they can see – There's something called a caldera, and it's like a depression in the earth that is created by an eruption. So that's how they can determine how big the eruption was, and they can kind of like guesstimate what happened, you know, depending on where like volcanic ash is found and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so if it does happen, they're thinking we can withstand it. Like people in the area are going to be okay?
No. Oh. So
I feel like I was waiting for that.
I was waiting for that because I'm like, I bet she's gonna ask. So the reason that they can determine like, oh, it probably won't happen in our lifetime is because scientists measure the percent of magma beneath the surface. And in order for an eruption to happen, it has to be above 50%. And right now we're at 10.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're good? Kind of.
For now. No, I really think we're good. There is a movie actually that I watched too because it was like, what if Yellowstone erupted and the world was ending? And it was that movie 2012. Have you seen it?
I don't think so.
So it's kind of like an end of the world type thing. And they have Yellowstone erupting.
And there was this guy, and he kind of like lived at the park, you know, and he was a conspiracy guy. And he was like, oh no, man, it's going to erupt. It's going to erupt. And then he saw it erupt and he's like, I told you guys it was going to erupt. You just have to see it because it kind of explains like what would happen. But there's also other stuff that they put in there because it's supposed to be the end of the world. So they do like earthquakes and, you know, California drifting away, which those things wouldn't happen. But the supervolcano is crazy.
So he was suggesting that if the volcano under Yellowstone erupted, that that was the end of the world? Or that was just one of multiple things?
One of multiple. But he was only like saying that Yellowstone was going to erupt.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll just have to watch it. It was actually a good movie. It's kind of older.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like familiar. I know I've seen it. I mean, like seen like the – maybe on like Netflix as I was scrolling.
Yeah. So now we're going to go into what would happen if it did erupt in our lifetime.
Oh, perfect.
So according to according to U.S. Geological Survey – when and if it erupts, the states surrounding Yellowstone, Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming would be obliterated by pyroclastic flows or molten lava that would explode 14 miles high. And then, like, what would be even deadlier than that is the molten ash cloud that would follow it. So it would cover the rest of the U.S. and other parts of the world in volcanic ash.
Oh, for how long?
It said that it could be short term, meaning years to decades.
That's short term?
Yeah.
It's like so, the whole dinosaurs becoming extinct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I was thinking that too. I'm like, how do they know it was a meteor and not the volcano?
Right.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of theories, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not
that
interested.
That can be, you know, someone else's podcast. but yeah, so if that were to happen, the volcanic ash would destroy most living things.
So you're not worried being in Arizona?
No, because I really don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime.
We might have like another 100,000 years.
but yeah, let's go back to like what would happen if it did erupt. So, you know, I said most living things would be destroyed. It would also drastically diminish our food supply, livestock, and, you know, obviously. And streams and rivers would become clogged, so it would diminish our water supply. Mm. It would also cause a caldera, which is that depression of land that would release sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere and trigger global cooling.
Like an ice age.
Yeah, exactly. And there's already three calderas there. So that's how they know.
Oh.
Yeah.
So since we've been around, it's happened three times. I mean, the Earth. Okay.
Yeah. So if another large caldera-forming eruption were to occur at Yellowstone, its effects would be worldwide. And there would be a giant eruption that would have regional effects, such as falling ash, and short-term, meaning years to decades, of changes to global climate. Mm.
And I hope this doesn't erupt for like a long time.
I know. Yeah, it's like it's kind of spooky, but I really don't think it's going to happen.
I hope not. Yeah. I mean, I know you're like a geologist and all, but
well, basically, I did all the research. But I'm going to post a clip of the like when Yellowstone erupted in the movie 2012 so that you can kind of see like what that looks like. And yeah
it'll give us a better idea of what you're talking about.
Exactly. So that's all I have. Thank you guys for sticking with it for two episodes. The second part is not as long as the first part, but I felt like it would have been too long to stick into one episode. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. And next week we will have a mom's episode where she'll be talking about hauntings of Yellowstone. I'm super excited about that.
Me too. Ooh. Lots of creepy stuff there.
I'm going to cry again.
Oh, no. Ashley, don't cry.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.